You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Golf Podcast. My name's John Gibby, filling in for Dave Callender this week and joined as usual by Mr. Dave Tindall. Hello, Dave. How are you?
I'm very well, John. How are you?
Yeah, good to have you. And, well, I'm sure you're especially good this week because you had such a great week on the podcast last week. You gave us both winners with a 1,325-1 double.
Yes, which I didn't back. But there you go.
You backed them individually, I hope.
I backed them individually. Hopefully... Well, I asked on Twitter if anyone had backed them in the double so I could celebrate them on here, but I'm not sure anyone did. We didn't actually put it up as a official double, but sometimes people take the tips and put them together. So hopefully maybe a few people made a few quid last week. I was away, actually, in Lisbon. Great place. Go there, people.
Yes.
That's my tip for the week.
There you go.
So I didn't see anything. I didn't see a shot, but maybe that's sometimes best, isn't it?
Yeah.
I had no panic at all. I wasn't fretting for hours.
You don't strike me as a man who usually panics.
No, but I am a leaderboard refresher, but I didn't think that was the done thing to be doing on holiday.
Probably not.
So I just sort of found out about Harding, and then I think I looked at the Sky app and it said Molinari was leading. I thought he wasn't even in contention, so that was a bit weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, happy ending there.
Fantastic. Well, that's excellent. Well, if you didn't see the tournament, it's probably not much good going into detail dissecting them. But there's plenty to discuss when we look ahead to this week anyway, because, well, obviously the main attraction being the Players' Championship. And a few changes to this year's tournament, Dave, especially in terms of the time of year. We're moving from May to March. Before we get into the betting, what difference do you think that might make?
It can, though. Obviously, the weather in March can be a little bit more testing. It's windier typically in Florida in March than it is in May. But I'm not entirely sure. It's not like we're discussing kind of April and September. We are fairly close in the calendar. So I'm not sure there's a massive difference. If you look at it, was previously held in March up to 2006 for quite a while. And if you look at the winners sort of post and previous to that year, I don't think it's a huge factor. I think this year there's talk of the course, the rough not being so up, and it's looking a bit more lush than usual. But I don't expect it to be a big factor. I think if you were looking at a player and he'd only played well there in May in the past, and perhaps some of his March form from previous years was poor, I wouldn't get too giddy about that or upset.
Obviously known as the fifth major, and this year, as a result of that date change, in relation to the official majors in a different position, could it act as a precursor to the Masters in some way? Could that make some difference?
Yeah, I think because it's ahead of the Masters, I think it gives it an extra bit of sheen because it's the first big gathering of all the top players. So when it was between the Masters and the US Open, it kind of not got lost, but it was just sort of another big event. But this time, everyone can't wait for the Masters, so they've got this served up as a kind of hors d'oeuvre beforehand.
An hors d'oeuvre, excellent. Let's take a look. Let's take a look at some prizes here. We've got Rory McIlroy and Dustin Johnson as the 12-1 joint favourites for us here at William Hill. Justin Thomas is 14-1. Justin Rose then 20-1. Francesco Molinari 22-1. Tiger Woods also 22s. Brooks Koepka 25s with Ricky Fowler. It's then John Rahm 28-1 with Xander Schauffele. And Tommy Fleetwood also 28-1. And it's 33-1 bar. Obviously, this tournament has a permanent home at Sawgrass, including that formidable Island Green, just like the Masters, which we were just talking about in terms of having the permanent home. Does that change the way you approach it in terms of looking at course form?
Possibly it's one of those Marmite courses in some way. Some people don't get it. But in another way, you look at, say you're comparing it to Augusta form, people, a lot of the good players, they're up there every year at Augusta. You look at some of the form here at Sawgrass, and you get someone like Ricky Fowler. He's got a win, a second, and absolute rubbish the rest of the time. Miscuts all over the shop. So it's a course that if you're not quite on it that week, you just, you can't sort of just, you know, backdoor a top 20 or just get a tenth or something like that. If you're off, you're off, and you will miss the cut. So it can be a trappy event in that sense. You've got people like Dustin Johnson, never had a top 10 here, which is a bit bizarre.
Yeah.
Rory's record is odd. It was, he couldn't get hold of it at all to begin with, three missed cuts. Then he plays solidly. Now he's sort of gone a little bit again. So it's just hard to time it right. I think what you probably need is people that are coming in here with reliable, solid form, because it's not a place where you go to and think, all right, I'll go back to Sawgrass. It'll all click again. It won't. You've got to, I think, play well coming in.
Because of the way the track is sort of configured and the way it's laid out, you'd think that it would be a course that would be beneficial and be suitable to a variety of different types of players, because it's got different types of holes on.
Yeah, I think so. If you look at the winner's roll call as well, you've got short hitters, big hitters. So it is very open in that sense and gives everyone a chance. So, and like maybe again, comparing it to Augusta, where you're looking at big hitters in the main, this course is open to many. Often players have to be careful off the tee, so they're hitting their second shots from similar spots. So, it is a very testing event for the players and, I think, for the punter as well.
Yeah.
Because you've got people you think are as reliable in other events here. You know, they could just as easily miss the cut as get a top five.
Well, let's talk about some of the key players then. And let's start with Rory McIlroy, who is joint favourite, but he obviously arrives here after a poor final round last time in the Arnold Palmer.
It seems to be a habit, doesn't it, with Rory, saying after a poor final round, he just can't quite seem to get it going that he used to.
I was going to say, is that something that's creeping into his game now, more so?
It's been there for a while. But a lot of it's perception. If you were looking at his bare results, his last five starts, 6th, 2nd, 4th, 5th, 4th, you'd say, wow, he's in red hot form. But because it's Rory and because we think in our heads he should have won at least one or two of those events, you're kind of a bit down on him. But if you're an each-way punter, he's getting you the money every week.
Yeah.
It's just that it's frustrating that he can't seem to go through the gears like he used to. I'm not quite sure why that is. But someone like Molinari won last week, he seems to have stolen that superpower off Rory somehow. It's a bit strange how it's swapped hands.
When you think about his price as well, obviously joint favourite here, and you mentioned that he obviously does keep hitting the frame and rewarding those each-way punters. Do you think that's sort of compressing his price to maybe a bit shorter than what it should be?
Yeah, they can't. I mean, if he's landing the each-way every week, you're not going to dangle any fancy prices with Rory, but I think I'd rather back him at a typical Rory track than this week at 12s when... 6 each-way places. If you back Rory each-way, 6-way places every year at Sawgrass, you would have lost 8 times out of 9. So
yeah,
it's not the greatest track for success with him, I don't think.
Okay, well, what about Dustin Johnson then, also at 12-1? When we last saw him, he was a winner in Mexico City.
Yeah, I mean, he's won in Saudi Arabia as well, Dustin Johnson. So he's got that current form coming in, which I said is important, but he just can't seem to quite get to grips with the course. Although you could argue, that it's getting that way. If you cut off his form in 2016, he'd never had a top 25. The last 2 years, tied 12th and tied 17th. So maybe D just figured something out. It's taken him a while, but maybe he's just started to think, I can't just blaze away with driver. I've got to be a bit more studied.
Do you think that happens at tournaments where players are coming back year after year after year after year? They sort of improve to a certain extent as they gain the experience.
Well, the best ones should really, because that's why they're good golfers, because they should be able to adapt and work things out. I know people don't see DJ as the most cerebral guy, but in golfing intelligence, I think he has got plenty of that, and he's got all the athletic ability in the world. It's just a question of reining it in. But if you look where he's won so far this year, they weren't on big booming golf courses. They were on courses where you had to show a bit of guile. So in theory, there's no reason why I don't think he he shouldn't make a challenge in this week's event. But again, at 12-1, I think I'd rather back him similar odds in a major, bigger odds in a major.
Okay. Next in the betting at 14-1, we got Justin Thomas. There's been a little bit of controversy, you might say, with Justin Thomas off the course in recent times, some disagreements he's been having with the authorities. Do you think that's going to have any impact on the game he plays at Sawgrass?
Yeah, I was thinking about that. It was done via Twitter, which you should never... it's my role.
Do you ever have Twitter beef, Dave?
I don't, but there's a couple of people, even though I've seemed in theory to have done quite well last week with a big double, there's still a couple of people who weren't happy about it.
Really?
Yeah. So it's like, I just don't get involved.
Should have backed the double day.
Yeah, sort of, yeah. So I, you know, if they want to expend energy finding fault in anything, fine, but you won't get me replying to any of it. But I think that's obviously a much more bigger scale what Justin Thomas is talking about, the rules and everything. So and I think he was questioned about dodging meetings with officials, which he didn't like. So I don't think it will affect him this week. I do think he's got a big chance here, to be honest. We talked earlier about all sorts of players can win. And I think you need an all-round game. You need to do everything well. If you look at the PGA Tour's all-around stats, which measures everything, he is ranked number one in that. So that tells you something, that the known weaknesses there with Justin Thomas at the minute. If you look at his course form as well, in terms of some of the other top players, his is notably pretty good, really. Third in his second year here and 11th last year. Miscut 2017, but his only other appearance was another top 25. So three top 25s with the high of a third. His recent form didn't play so well at the Honda, but I think, I'm not sure he had to defend that title because he'd won the previous year. I think he would have taken that week off had he not been the defending champion. But before that, ninth, second, third, I see no reason why he doesn't have a big week. But I'm just a bit reluctant about maybe backing people under 20s on this course, given what's gone before. Although that said, I'm not going too far beyond that with my tips.
Okay, well, we'll get onto your tips for a minute. There's just a couple more I want to ask you about. And the first of those is maybe an obvious one. That's Tiger Woods.
Yeah, well, here's my first tip. Actually.
Oh, there we go. It's almost as if we planned this, Dave.
Yeah. Yeah, Tiger pulled out last week with a neck problem, which is the worry this week.
I think that was much the disappointment of Dave Kellner.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I think he just did it to wind Dave up, which was good. You could argue, did he pull out that week with one eye on this week, or was it just a genuine concern that he would have withdrawn in any week? But I still think with Tiger's big mission this year is to win a major. So if he thought by playing here it would affect his chances of teeing it up at Augusta National, I don't think he'd be here. So yeah. I think we're fairly safe with that. Now, Tiger's won this event twice, which is okay, but in terms of him, it's not amazing. Like Bay Hill last week, I think he'd won it seven or eight times. So two wins for Tiger here isn't amazing, but it seems now his game is even more... is better suited to it. He's more of a sort of crafty veteran who doesn't hit it as far. So when we see him contending now, you now look not for the big, booming, wide-open courses. You look for something where it's more strategic and he can use all that guile that we've seen him. Maybe it gets hidden because we were sort of so amazed by his incredible shots, but a lot of why Tiger won was just his brain, so that's as sharp as ever. So I don't see why he doesn't have a really big week this week. I think at 22-1 on a Florida course. What held him back at the start of the year was he couldn't put on the Poana greens on the West Coast. So back here on Bermuda greens, I think that could be the missing piece of the jigsaw. So I think Tiger has got the strategic course. He's back on Bermuda. He's won it twice, so he knows he can win here. Put it all together, and I think 22-1 is decent each way.
You mentioned that he hasn't won it a massive amount of times compared to other tournaments, but this, looking back at the list of winners, isn't a tournament where there's been a massive amount of repeat winners.
No.
And I use that actually as a positive for Tiger, because that could explain that factor.
Yeah, well, no one's ever won it back-to-back, which, was it 45 years old, I think? So normally you'll find, certainly the big names have won events back-to-back, and at Bay Hill last week we'd had Tiger was one of three back-to-back winners of that event. So none here at Sawgrass. So it does show that it's a prize that's shared around, and maybe it's Tiger's turn again.
Last year's winner, Webb Simpson, at 50-1 to be a repeat winner this time round. So is Tiger Woods going to be your main?
Yeah, I think I'm going to get on the Tiger wagon this week. I think he was 25s when I got the training, but he's been cut. So I think our William Hill punters are thinking the same. They think Tiger's a good price this week. So a bit of weight of money there left over from Cheltenham. Whilst being maybe moved from Cheltenham.
Yeah,
to Tiger.
You have to get
Tiger's a more solid bet than some of your horses this week, John.
I'm sure he is. What about others we should be looking out for? Maybe a bigger prices.
Yeah, well, I'm going to put up another one at 25-1. Brooks Koepka. It's almost a price play this because he's the three time major winner. All those wins have come in the last couple of years, which is more major wins than Rory McIlroy's had in the last... McIlroy hasn't won a major since 2014. Koepka's just been winning them, you know, he's just been gathering them up at a rapid rate. So the fact that he's double the price just caught my attention on Brooks Koepka, because I think, again, there's a perception with him that he just has to boom it. But you don't win two US Opens just booming away in a USPGA just without lots of other elements to it. And I think his course form, you could argue on, you can always twist a fact, can't you? But he's had no top 10s here, but last year was tied 11th, the year before tied 16th. I think he can play well here. I think he's, again, because he comes across as a bit sort of cool and laid back and not got much to say. We kind of think he's got no thinking power, but clearly he has. And last year he ended with a 63 in the fourth round. So with that knowledge in your bank that he can play that course in 63, I think that was his last competitive round at the course. I think he can go back this year at 25s and give us a big run for our money. I mean, only a couple of weeks ago he was runner-up in the Honda Classic, so he's got the form, and you coined the term the fifth major. Well, he is the man for majors.
I'm not sure if I coined that.
Yes, your original trademark on it. But you remind us of that well-worn phrase about it being the fifth major. So he is a player who can absolutely get himself up for the big events, and I'm sure when he looks back on his career, he will want a Players' Championship on his resume. And of course, do you know what the winner gets this week, John?
What?
2.25 million.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't mind that.
I know. Look at that. 2.25 million. The richest purse in golf.
Mm. Is that right?
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah, gone through 2 million for the first time this year. So I think the purse is 12.5 million. So I'm not saying they're all in it for the money, but I think that might just focus him a little bit.
Not going to be a negative, is it?
No.
Okay, so those are the two picks. Anyone else we need to mention?
So I'm going to have one more pick. It's a big week in golf, so I'm going to have three picks on this event. The other one is less high profile than the other two, but a fine player in his own right, and that is Patrick Cantlay at 45-1, the American. Again, when we're looking at types of player who win this, we can get some big hitters, we can get short and steady, and he is. He does hit it a good whack, but he's just a steady customer, which I think will help him at this course. And I think he's shown that in his previous visits. He's only played here twice the last 2 years. Tied 22nd and tied 23rd look fairly good, but if you drill down a little bit further, he was actually second at halfway last year, and he was in the top 10 after 54 holes both times. So he's just not been able to finish it off, Patrick Cantlay. But I think if he keeps going to Sawgrass, I think he will string four rounds together at some point. And this year, we've seen him in nice form. He has a light schedule, which again could help him. Started off with a miscut at the Farmers Insurance, second round 69, so not a lot wrong there. And then he went to Riviera, tied 15th. Then his last start was in the WGC Mexico, and he was tied 6th. So I think he's just running into some nice form, maybe about to peak. and I think this could be a good venue for him to do so. So I thought 45 again was good each way value.
And just a reminder that we are six places at a 50 odds here at William Hill ahead of the 2019 Players' Championship. And just remember with the Players' Championship as well that your odds are available, of course, on the golf of us here at William Hill, at William Hill, hashtag your odds there, Dave. And there's one that you have a particular interest in.
Yeah, I was looking at some of these earlier. It combines two of the bets I've actually put up in terms of who might do well. These are the top 20 finish. This is both guys have a top 20 finish. It includes ties, which could help you as well. So it's two of my picks, Tiger Woods and Brooks Koepka, both to finish in the top 20, and that is 7-2. So I think even if they're not quite on it, I think both are very capable of pulling off that particular feat. So I thought 7-2 on those two top class players is worth a bet at 7-2. There's loads of these. There's hashtag yards, all the price points, 6-1 to 14s. This is the one that jumped out to me at below 6-1, but you've got all sorts. Got a full page of them that go up to 1,300-1.
And I think the nice thing about 7-2 as well is if you're not a big each way punter in the main betting, that gives you a slightly more palatable price in terms of if you want to play at slightly shorter odds.
Yeah, and it means if Tiger's 40th after round one, there's no stress. He's still got time to work his way back into that top 20. He could even be 40th with a round to play. I'm sure Koepka was a long way back going into the final round last year and shot 63. So it's a bet where, as long as they make the cut, I think you've got a good run at it.
Okay, well, that's the players. The European Tour event this week is the Kenya Open. We'll put in a quick mention for this one, Dave. Justin Harding is the 10-1 favourite of us here at William Hill. George Kutsielin, 14-1. Eric Van Boren, 16-1. Romain Lanayesque is 20-1. Adrian Els is 20s. Shabanka Sharma, 25-1. Christian Benswoodenhout is 25-1. And Clement Sorday, also 25s. And Jeff Winter, it's also at 25-1. It's 33-1 and bigger for the rest. Six places available once again each way at a 50 odds. What did you make of the field for the Kenya Open?
Yeah, it's a disappointing field, isn't it? This used to be a Challenge Tour event. It's played in Kenya, but it does get great crowds there. They'll be very excited. So it's disappointing that none of the even sort of middleweights have gone there. At least we've got Justin Harding this week, and I must say, it's not a tournament that stands out as a betting heat. We've got that course form from if you go through some of the Challenge Tour events at the course, which is called Karen, the course.
And really?
That's strange, isn't it?
It is. Very personal.
A bit 70s, yeah. Really. But there should be a bloke called Kevin going to win it, or Nigel. But if I were to have a bet, and I probably should maybe do a double this time, after not doing the double last week. So as simple as it is, I think I would put the favourite in as my double. So if you're having a bet on the players, I would double him up with Justin Harding at 10-1. He's the highest ranked player in the field. He's coming off a win, his first European Tour win. One of the reasons why he's suddenly, I think he's now into the world's top 55. One of the reasons why he's made that jump from thinking a talented player was he stopped drinking. Apparently he was a bit of a drinker.
Really?
Yeah. Just took the social levels a bit high.
Yeah.
But I think it was George Kutsey who actually told him, come on, mate, you could make something of yourself here really good if you just cut out a little bit. So
might not be thanking him for himself for giving that advice this week in this event.
Yeah, so he... It slightly just makes me think he's not gone completely on the lash last week after winning.
So
he might just knuckle down a bit. And I looked through his record in the past, and he's actually had back-to-back wins. I know it was in Swaziland, but I mean, this is Kenya, so it's in the continent. And he had two wins in the space of 3 weeks last year as well. So he is a player, when he's on song, he can follow up quite quickly. So I would use him as a vehicle to have a few doubles, and hopefully if you backed him last week, it's keep a few chips on the table and back him again.
Okay, so do you just want to recap your selections this week then, Dave?
So in the Players' Championship, the big one, I will go A point and a half each way on Tiger Woods at 22s, a point each way on Brooks Koepka at 25s, and a point each way Patrick Cantlay at 45s. And I will play each of those. Got a bit of money to play with after last week.
Yes, saw it here.
So I'll put each of those in with Justin Harding. So that'll be 3 1-point each way double. So if Justin Harding lets me down, then that has thrown a lot of stake money away. But there you go. But I do think in this field, he's played the course before, which is a little bit reassuring, and was tied 18th, Justin Harding. So he's not just turning up and going, oh, what's all this about? Proven winner in Africa. So double him up with those three picks, and hopefully we can land another one.
Hopefully. Dave, good luck landing your double this week.
Well, yeah, that would be nice. I'm definitely going to do it this week rather than just mention it theoretically.
Enjoy the week's golf. Enjoy Cheltenham as well, of course.
I will, yes. Get your golf bets on now before you throw all your money away on Cheltenham.
And we'll see you next time on the William Hill Golf Podcast.
Cheers, John.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.